My name's Michelle Owu. I'm carrying out this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust. The object of the research is to compile a portrait of contemporary Britain. The date is the 29th of July 2009, and the time is now 27 minutes past 8 in the evening. We've had a problem with the microphone, and the participant and myself will be holding it between us until I fix it after the interview, because it's become unscrewed. Can you tell me your name, your age, and where you come from?
Yes, I'm Simon Hutchinson. I'm 37, and I live in Northumberland.
Did you come down from Northumberland today?
No, I've been down a couple of days. So. But I'm very excited to be in London. It's very warm. It's a lot warmer than Northumberland.
Have you been down to London much?
Yes, quite a lot. Now and again, various things, work and friends.
How are you feeling?
I'm trying to make myself calm. Right now, I've not done anything like this before. People think I'm usually like to be centre of attention, but I've realised I don't.
Can you describe what you're wearing for me?
Yes, I'm wearing a pair of very old shoes, and I'm wearing jeans and a shirt. But over my jeans and a shirt, I'm wearing a pair of blue a blue boiler suit.
Can you tell me why you're wearing that?
Yes, well, the reason I'm here is because I think that the point about modern Britain is you can do a lot of different things with your life. Hopefully people can. And I'm quite lucky because I grew up in a very rural place, 18 miles to the nearest town and 2 miles to the nearest neighbour and that sort of thing. But I've got, I think, quite an interesting job. Because I work with music and I work with record companies and performers to make sure they get their royalties and get into the charts and that sort of thing. So I'm wearing the overalls because that's the start, me coming from the countryside. And I have a little bit of the farm with me. I've got some turf, which probably won't show up very well on the camera, but it's symbolic. And then we play a bit of music and I shall make a few dedications and talk about a few other things.
Describe for me in a little bit more detail your role at work.
Well, the database role, it's the database that all the record companies feed their, this is going to be really boring, I'm sorry, all their repertoire data into. And what we do with that is then we give it to various companies to allow them, first of all, to make sure that the performers are getting paid. So if things get put on the radio, the performer gets paid. We also allow record companies to get paid, and that's when they get played in the radio or in nightclubs. The other thing is it goes to the charts, so the top 40 on a Sunday afternoon all comes out, well, not all of it, but we help along that process, and anti-piracy as well. So if there's anybody out there who illegally downloads music, this is the time I need to tell you, please don't do that. And the interviewer is laughing, I think she's a little bit guilty.
Can you tell me what kind of music you're going to play?
Yes, I've got 17 songs, and they are mostly contemporary from the sort of last 10 years. There's a little bit of folk music in there. I'm a little bit obsessed by the Smiths, and I'm a little bit obsessed by Pet Shop Boys. So they both get two songs each out of the 17. Quite hard when you've only got an hour to get the 17 songs. A few dedications to some friends who... can't be here, and I shall give them some visual clues to watch online as well.
Where did you first hear about the project?
I was in a newspaper, but it was quite a long time ago. It was when they were, I think Hotel for the Birds had just gone up, and they were talking about what the next potential things were going to be, sort of 6 months down the line. So it was just newspaper and press from that time, really. The Hotel for the Bird was terrible. It looked a bit cheap, didn't it?
What was it about this project in particular that appealed to you, do you think?
Well, I first became aware of Anthony Gormley through The Angel of the North, obviously. We all love it. I don't think we did when it first arrived, but it is brilliant now. And you go along there at weekends and it's packed out with all sorts of people who... I've probably just been to the Metro Centre to get their shopping. But it's a really good place full of families. It's fantastic. So that was the first thing that I thought of, Anthony Gormley. I've been to Crosby Beach. Is it Crosby or Osby? Crosby Beach, I think, to see the thing that he's got there, which is brilliant as well. I thought, oh well, if he's involved, this might be good. So I thought I shall put my name down, and here I am.
And how did you feel when you heard you had a place?
Well, I got the email at about 1 minute past midnight, and everybody else was asleep. So I woke everybody up, and I rang a few people just to say I've got some great news, but I can't tell you what it is. And then I didn't sleep that night, and my sleep patterns have varied since, I found out. I didn't sleep particularly well last night. And I'm hoping that I'm going to have a beer after this evening and then sleep very, very well tonight.
You mentioned that you didn't like The Angel of the North when you first saw it.
Yeah.
How has it grown on you? What is it about it that you like now?
It's really aged well. It's a different colour. I don't know what metal it is. It's probably iron or something. But it's oxidised, so it's gone to a really lovely browny red colour. I think it was just such a shock because it was massive and in a really prominent position where it is, and you can see it for miles and miles and miles. And I think generally up in the northeast, people didn't really like it until it was hijacked and somebody put a Shearer Newcastle United strip over the top of it one evening. Massive. I don't know how they did it. And then suddenly it became a bit of an icon for the northeast now. And I don't know anybody who doesn't like it. Really, and what I've liked is there's been a big art documentary on Channel 4 or BBC 4 or something, and it's been really interesting to watch their processes, how they've gone about putting big public art up. And I drove past the head of the girl up in St Helens, which is part of the program, a couple of weeks ago with my friend Gail, and it's just fantastic. It's really beautiful. It just appears to come from nowhere. So I'm a big fan of. And I really don't mind what it is, actually. I think as long as people are making an effort to do something, that's what's important. And people do get offended by public art and is it art, isn't it art? I'm not qualified to make that. I think it's that judgment or that decision. But I think that it's just nice to see things out of the ordinary.
You mentioned you grew up in a very
remote, very, very, very rural, yes. A sheep farm up in Northumberland. It's fantastic. It is, apart from Santa Monica, it is the best place in the world. It's the end of the road. There's no traffic goes past it. Next house is 2 miles away. Mum and Dad still farm it there, and they love it. It's not easy. They haven't got mains electricity. They've got spring. They've got hot water. And I better just mention, because my mum gets paranoid, people think she hasn't got a flushing toilet. She has got a flushing toilet. But it's just completely different to anywhere else in the UK.
When did you move away from
that? I went away to university when I was 18. I went to Nottingham, which is brilliant, good city. And then I went to Reading, and then I've worked all over the place since then. But I still get back there. It is still my home, and I still it's my farm, so it's my responsibility. I don't do any of the hard work, as my dad will point out if ever he hears this. But I have to know what's going on, because one day I'm going to have to know what to do with the cows and the sheep and the deer and the goats and the horses. Actually, I haven't got any goats anymore. We haven't got any hens either, because they got killed by the mink. That the animal liberation people let go from the mink farm. So they were being very kind to the mink, but not very kind to the hens.
How would you feel about going back to the farm when you do take it home?
A little bit nervous, really. I do have and nobody's going to believe this, but there is a GCSE available in agriculture. And I do have my agriculture GCSE. It's not my highest qualification, but it's the one I'm proudest of. I wasn't very good at it, but at least I've got the basics. I think that I don't know. I'm lucky because it's never been forced on me to work on the farm. I'm an only child as well. I think that's quite rare that your parents let you go off and do various things that you want to do. And they never forced me into just thinking you've got a farm, you've got to be at the farm. But it always kind of feels like, well, that's where I'll end up. I don't know what point full time, but yeah, sometime that'll be where I go.
How would that contrast with the kind of life you lead? How would things change?
I think I don't. Well, I think the best thing about life, I don't think should ever get tied down into anything. I think as soon as you've worked in an environment or for an organisation, or you know, lived in one town to go to school or whatever, you should really try and love it as much as you can, get as much out of it as you can, but don't settle there for too long, because you know you're not in control of everything. So it's better to, you know, after 3 or 4 years, think, well, what am I going to do next year? And I've had quite a variety of different things that I've done. I've worked worked in record companies. I've worked in record shops. I've been a salesman, and I just think it's important that you just try something, because then you don't. So when I do go back to the farm, I don't know if it'll be good or terrible, but I'm not apprehensive that it's the change. I don't think you can be scared of change. And I guess it was the only place I knew until I was 18 anyway, so I'm pretty experienced of that rural lifestyle.
What did you study when you went to university?
it was terrible. It was business studies. And I had a really fantastic time. I made some of my best friends there at Nottingham. Did finish and realised that it taught us nothing apart from how to get on with people. Because it was very group-led, and you had projects to do together. So I finished my degree there, and then I went to Reading to do history for my master's, because I didn't... Which was all right, actually. I really enjoyed that. But again, it didn't really give you any life skills. But it did teach you how to really read a lot of material and try to absorb it as much as possible. So business studies, if there's anybody listening, and if business studies is still available when you're listening, probably don't make it your first choice.
Going back to the GCSE,
yes,
in agriculture,
yeah,
you said that was the qualification that you'd enjoyed most.
It's the one that comes up most in conversation with people, because I don't think people can understand that you can do a GCSE in agriculture. I think there's only two schools do it, actually.
What does it cover?
It covers it's a lot of theory. There's a bit of science in there, because you've got to obviously know how to fertilise your crops and that sort of thing. There's some practical elements as well. So I had to castrate a pig for my practical exam. Unfortunately, we didn't have enough piglets for the whole class, so you only got one testicle each, and you had to. So your partner got the easy job, because they could, before the piglet really knew how horrible it was going to be, they got the first testicle, and then you had to swap over, and the other one you had to hold it down whilst the pig was fully castrated. So that was a little bit different to biology and chemistry, I think.
You mentioned before that your friends thought of you as somebody who enjoys being the centre of attention.
Yeah.
How would you describe yourself?
I think I force myself to be centre of attention, because I don't think I'm always the most confident person, but I like talking to people, and I like listening to people, but I like other people to listen to me as well. And as part of my plinth experience, I've had to buy a megaphone. And I can't believe I never bought a megaphone before, because we've been practicing today with a few people. And once you've got a megaphone, you are centre of attention regardless. So and it just feels so right when you've got a hold of it in your hand and it's very loud. It just feels brilliant. So yeah, if you're a bit unsure of yourself, but you want to be centre of attention, get a megaphone.
What were the adjectives that you chose to describe yourself?
Rural. For the farming bit, disco, because I love discos. I don't think they're called discos anymore, are they? I think they're called nightclubs, and travel, because I think it's a cliche. Travel does broaden the mind. It's just better to. I'd hate to think you're going to sit there when you're hopefully old and haven't been to a lot of places. So just travel, just to keep seeing things and keep eating new foods. Any food, really. I think, yeah, that sounds a bit shallow after I've said I love travel, because it broadens the mind, but actually I love to travel because I like to eat. I don't eat everything I'm presented with, but I will at least smell it and touch it, and then sometimes eat.
What kind of things have you refused to eat in your travels?
I didn't eat any insects in Asia. I just thought, and I was with people who were. I just thought it doesn't appeal to me at all. Pig bowels were a challenge. I managed a mouthful, but it tasted exactly like I'd expect pig bowels to taste. And I had to deposit that in the fountain next to the restaurant, next to the cafe that we were in, because the lady had told me I wouldn't like them. I said, no, I will really like them. I promise you I'll like them. I like sausages, but pig bowel sausages are not a good thing. And that wasn't even anywhere very exotic. That was only France. I gave it a go, but yeah, not again.
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
I'm sort of forcing myself to be calm right now. I've got 15 minutes, blimey. And I just hope that the hour goes really quickly up there, and I can watch it all back and enjoy it. Maybe when I'm 90 on the farm.
Thank you very much.